Okay, good morning. This week we are learning Maseches Sota, Daf Hey. The weekly shiur for Maseches Sota is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction, Building Futures. The breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Ili Nishmas, Fega Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Zev.
And
Zev Ben David, Sarah Bas Shalom, Chaim Ben Yehoshua, and Edel Bas Moshe Yosef. We ended off last week talking about Gaiva, and this week we are going to have a jam-packed daf full of agarta, all about how terrible it is to have gaiva, to have arrogance, to be full of yourself, to lift yourself above others, which the Gemara is going to refer to and has referred to as gasas ruach. So the Gemara begins on Hey Amud Aleph, three lines down, Azhara legase haruach minayin. Where do we see a warning in the Torah? Which pasuk in the Torah or in Tanakh indicates to us that it is terrible to have gaiva, to be a gas ruach, to have arrogance? So Amar Rava, Amar Ze'iri. Ze'iri quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyah. Shimu v'ha'azinu al tegbahu. Listen and don't lift yourself up. Don't have gasas ha'ruach. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amar Mehacha. He quotes a pasuk from the Torah. V'rama v'avecha v'shachachta. If you're going to have a ram lev, you're going to lift yourself up, then v'shachachta, you're going to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Ksiv, it's terrible to forget Hashem, because the pasuk says, "Hishama lecha pentishkach es Hashem alokecha." You should make sure that you don't forget Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So there is a losase to forget Hashem. Gaiva can lead to forgetting Hashem. So therefore, gaiva is a terrible thing, because it could lead to shichachas Hashem, and that's bad, and that's a lav, as Kedar Rabbi Avin Amar Rabbi Yila. Dalmar Rabbi Avin Amar Rabbi Yila, Kol Makom Shenemar Hishamer Pen Ve'al. Any pasuk that says the word Hishamer Pen or Al, Eino Alaba Losase, that's considered a Losase. It doesn't say the word low, but it says Hishamer Pen or Al. Therefore, that's going to be considered a Losase. There's an Isser to forget Hashem. Gaiva leads to forgetting Hashem, because if you're so full of yourself, you say, Kochi Votem Yadi, I don't need a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I can do this all by myself. And that is a Losase, so therefore there's an Isser to have Gaiva. So what exactly is the Isser of Gaiva? Is it actually an Isser D'oraisa? Is it actually going to be counted as one of the Taryag Mitzvos? So look, already in our Gemara, we have two different sources. We have one source from Yirmiyah and one from Parshas Ekev, I believe, that says that, so that clearly implies that there would be a very important distinction. If it's a pasuk from Yirmiyah, from Nach, that's not a Din D'oraisa, that would be a Divrei Kabbalah, that would be maybe a Din D'rabbanan. But if it's from the pasuk from the Torah, from Sefer Dvarim, that would perhaps indicate that it actually is an Isser D'oraisa. And that is a machlokes. The only one who actually counts it in his minyan hamitzvos is the smag. The smag has a count, his minyan hamitzvos, and he counts on losase samech dalid. Remember that for later. Losase samech dalid. We're going to come back to the coolness of how that is in losase samech dalid. I'll say it one more time. Lo saseh, samach dalid. And so in samach dalid, he says that there's an isser to have gaiva. He quotes our pasuk from the Gemara, clearly paskening like the second manda amar, that the pasuk in the Torah says he shouldn't have gaiva, therefore it's going to be counted in his taryag mitzvos. It's fascinating. In his hakdama, he writes that he wrote his whole minyan mitzvos. He wrote down all 613, and then he had a dream. And in the dream, a baskol, some ruach from a Kadosh Baruch Hu came to him and told him in a dream that he forgot the most important mitzvah. You forgot the Isser of Gaiva, the Lo Sase to have Gaiva, and he went back, and he had to put that into his Minyan HaMitzvos. I'm not sure which one he had to take out to make it a Tarag. Did he say, like, okay, now we can have it, we can do Shatnez now? Like, do you have to, like, Matir one of the other Isserim? I don't know how he made that all, how that all work out, but he had to add in Gaiva. That was what the Hashem had told him to put into his Minyan HaMitzvos. But that's very unique. The Ramban, Al HaTorah, seems to also hold that it's a Din D'oraisa, but does not quote our pasuk. He quotes a pasuk in Parshas Shoftim about a melech, that a king, the pasuk says, Levilti rum levavo meyachav, that a king should not be full of himself. And so the Ramban says, for a king who has a lot of significance, and even he shouldn't, you know, let it get to his head, kavachomer us, lowly people who have nothing to find important about ourselves, the Ramban says that perhaps is a source in the Torah for the Isser of Gaiva. And the Rambam does not count it in his mitzvah, in his minyan mitzvos. Sadly, so the question of why is he not included in his count of Taryag? So you could say, number one, maybe he paskins like the first Manda Amar. Maybe he paskins that the source of the Isser Gaiva is from Sefer Yirmiyah, not a Din D'oraisa, so that's why he won't count it in his Minyan HaMitzvos. Maybe he paskins like the second Manda Amar, but that pasuk in Sefer Dvarim is only an Asmachta, not going to be a source for a real Din D'oraisa. It's just a hint in the Torah for the Din. But the Megillas Esther, who's a commentary on the Rambam, says a very interesting answer. He says that perhaps the Rambam doesn't count the Isser Gaiva because it's so a prerequisite to the entire Sefer HaMitzvah, to the entire Tariag Mitzvah. It's kolel every other mitzvah, because if you're going to have Gaiva, all the mitzvahs that you do are going to be completely a waste of time. And so he's not going to count it as an individual of the 613 because it's so all-encompassing. That's the explanation of the Megillas Esther, which the Cheshek Shlomo in the back of the Gemara over here says is a very troubling answer. Because anyone know what the first mitzvah is that the Rambam counts in his Minyan HaMitzvos? Mitzvah number one is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which the Ramban says, oh, some don't count it. The Bahag doesn't count that. Oh, because that's an all-encompassing mitzvah. So that's why most don't count that, or others don't count that. But the Rambam does count Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So don't say, oh, he doesn't count Gaiva because it's so all-encompassing. Well, he quotes Anochi Hashem Elokecha as one of the Tariag mitzvahs. So clearly he does count things that are all-encompassing, prerequisite to the entire Minyan mitzvahs. So the Chizuk Shlomo says maybe it's but maybe the Rambam doesn't count mitzvos that are hishomer pen or al mitzvos. Maybe the Rambam in his losaseh only counts things that say lo, but if it says hishomer pen or al, which means losaseh, but it's not going to be to the madrega of being counted in the minyan hamitzvos. But that's several different reasons as to why the Rambam doesn't count it. But there are those who hold that it is. Perhaps it is for in fact a din d'oraisa, and even perhaps in the minyan hamitzvos, like the smag. That's the Azhara for Gasei Haruach. The Gemara continues, Darash Rav Avira, Zimnin Amar La Mishmei Rav Asi, V'Zimnin Amar La Mishmei Rav Ami. Rav Avira would say sometimes in the name of Asi, and he'd also quote sometimes Rav Ami, Kol Adam Shiyesh Bo Gasos Haruach L'Sof Mismait. Anyone who has Gasos Haruach, who has Gaiva, is ultimately going to be Mismait. They're going to be lowered down. They're going to lose their Chashivos. Shneamar, Pasuk says in Sefer Iyov, Romu Me'at, if you're Romu, if you lift yourself up, then Me'at, you're going to be lowered down. Beshema Tomar Yeshno Ba'olam, maybe he'll say that he's going to lose his Hashivas, but he'll still be around in the world. Tamalomar Ve'enenu, he's going to be completely gone. Ve'im Cholzer Ba, but if he does Tshuva, Ne'esaf Bismano Ke'avram Avinu, he's going to die Bismano at his appropriate time. So if he does Teshuva, he'll ultimately have a Misa Bismano like the Avos. Shne'amar Ve'humchu Kekol Gikavtsun, Ve'humchu, if he does Teshuva and lifts and he lowers himself and gets rid of his Gaiva, then he'll be Gikavtsun, he'll be taken from this world Kekol, like Kol. Who's Kol? Ka'avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov Bechsib Behu Bakol Mikol Kol. Like the Avos, Av Mitzchak and Yaakov, who each have the word Bakol, Mikol, Kol, written by them, as Rashi points out, the different psukim, Vashem Berach es Avraham Bakol, and Vaochel Mikol, and Yaakov says, Ki Chanani Elokim, Vechi Yesh Li Kol. So they all say the word Kol. So the pasuk says they're going to be Yikavtun, they're going to be taken from the world like Kol. So they're going to have a Misa Bismano like the Avos. The Imlav, but if he does not do Teshuvah, and he maintains his stature of Gaiva, then Ukirosh Shiboles Yimalu, he'll be cut off from the world like a Rosh Shiboles, like the head of a stock of grain. So my Ukirosh Shiboles, what does that mean? Kirosh Shiboles, he'll be taken off like a cut off of the world like the head of a stock of grain. So Rav Huna Rav Chista, Chad Amar Kisasa de Shibalta. One says that Rosh Shiboles means like the very top of the stock, that there were some, Rashi refers to it as like a zakain, like a beard that would like stick out at the very top of the grain of wheat, these like hair protrusions that would fall off very easily. So he's going to fall off as well. The chad amar kishiboles atma. And some say, no, it's referring to not dafka, the hairs on the top of the grain, but the grain itself is going to be cut off like the shiboles itself. Bishlam alamanda amar kisasa de shibalta. I understand the one who says that it means he'll be cut off from the world. The mashal is he'll be cut off like the beard like hairs at the top of the shiboles. Hainu dechsev ucherosh shiboles. That fits with the pasuk. The pasuk says he'll be yimolu, he'll be cut off like the rosh, like the very top of the shiboles. Elamanda amar ki shibota atzma. But the one who explains the mashal is he'll be cut off like a regular, like the grain itself is removed from the world. So my ucherosh shiboles. Why does the pasuk say that he's going to be cut off like the rosh shiboles? It's not the rosh, it's the entire shibboleth. So Amar Avasi, Bechein Tana de Bera Yishmael, Mashal Adam Shenichnas Lesoch Sadehu Gavoha Gavoha Hu Milakeit. That's a mashal to a person who goes into a field, and the first ones that he plucks out of the ground are the tallest ones. The tallest ones that stand out are the first ones to be plucked. And the nimshal is that the gaiva, the bal gaiva, who holds himself higher than others, he lifts himself up like a very tall grain of wheat. he's going to be cut off from the world as well. There's a machlokas as to what the mashal is the mashal will be cut off like the hairs at the top of the grain, or he'll be cut off like the tallest grains are removed from the field first. The Gemara continues more about gaiva. The pasuk says, "Ve'es daka ushfal ruach." That Hashem, the pasuk is referring to Hashem dwelling with those who are daka and shfal ruach, those who are humble, those who don't have gaiva. Hashem is going to dwell with them. So how does that work exactly? Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. There's two different opinions. Chad amar iti daka, that Hashem is going to bring the humble person up to Him. Hashem is going to lift the humble person who's so lowly up to Shemayim, up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chad amar no, ani es daka. Hashem is going to lower Himself down to the anav. So is Hashem going to bring up the anav to Him, or is Hashem going to lower Himself, kiviyachol, down to the anav? And mistavra kamanda amar ani es daka. It's mistavra like the one who says that Hashem is going to go down to the humble person. Hashem is going to lower Himself, so to speak, to the anav. Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu heiniach kol haru mugevaot, that Hashem didn't put to give us the Torah on a mountain or hills. Instead, hishe shchinaso al har Sinai. V'lo gava har Sinai lamala. Hashem went down to har Sinai to give us the Torah. Hashem didn't raise up Har Sinai to Him to give us the Torah. Hashem lowered Himself, kiviyachol, to Har Sinai. So to in general, if someone is an anav, Hashem will lower Himself, so to speak, to the anav. An amar of Yosef, le'olam yilmad adam midas kono. Someone we should learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiniach kol harim ugevahos. Hashem didn't give us the Torah on a mountain or a hill. Instead, v'hish v'shkinaso al Har Sinai. Davka on Har Sinai, the lowest of the hills, to show us the importance of having anava and not being a pal gaiva. There are those who say the vart at the very first Mishnah on Pirkei Avos that says Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai means that Moshe was mekabel the Torah. Why? Because he learned from Har Sinai the importance of having anava. That if you want to be mekabel the Torah, like we had kabbalas Torah at Har Sinai, you have to yourself be an anav and not be a pal gaiva. The Mefarshim ask, why did Hashem give us the Torah on a mountain at all? To show us the importance of not having any gaiva, so give us the Torah on a straight land, on a flat land. Give us in a valley, a lowly valley, to show us the importance of having a nava and to lower yourself. Why on a mountain, but the smallest of the mountains? Just give it not on a mountain at all. So Rav Yaakov Emden in the back of the Gemara over here says, as the Gemara is going to say in a bit, it's important to have some gaiva. As Gemara is going to say on the bottom, it's important you shouldn't let people walk all over you. You shouldn't just say, oh, I'm nothing, and everybody just makes fun of you, and you have no, importance or self-worth or self-value. No, you should hold yourself up to a certain degree, have a little bit of gaiva, perhaps in the areas of Torah specifically, for Lashem Shamayim, but you shouldn't be nothing like a flat earth. You should be like a Har Sinai, a small Har Sinai, right? A small mountain with a bit of gaiva, the appropriate amount of gaiva. Mara continues with a few different memras from Rav Elazar. Amar Rav Elazar, kol adam sheyeshbo gasos haruach ra'oi legado ke'ashera. Somebody who has gasos haruach, it's important to uproot it like an asherah tree, like a tree that was worshipped at Avodah Zarah. As it says, k'siv hacha v'ramei hakoma geduim, those who are ramei koma, who lifted themselves up with gaiva, with arrogance, geduim, it says geduim, u'k'siv hasam v'asherehem tegadeyun, that you should uproot the asherah trees. And as Rashi points out, you don't just cut off the Avodah Zarah tree, you have to completely uproot it. Yeshari, you should completely uproot the tree from the ground, so that you should completely get rid of the midah of gaiva from within you. And we had last week, the Gemara compares the one who has gaiva to Avodah Zarah. So it's very fitting that we should compare it to getting rid of Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav Elazar, kol adam sheyesh bo gasos haruach ein afaro ninar. This is wild. Somebody who has gasas haruach, who has a bad level of gaiva, his dust, his kever is not going to shake up. He's not going to wake up at tchiyas hamesim. He won't be zocheh to tchiyas hamesim. Shne'emar hekitzu v'ranenu shochnei afar. That is, those who are in the ground are going to wake up. Shochvei afar lo ne'emar. It doesn't say shochvei all those who are laying in the dirt, which would mean everyone's going to have tchias amezim. No, ela shochnei afar. Only those mishin naaseh shachem leafar b'chayav. Only those who made themselves like afar in their lives, that when they were alive, they lived at the midah of anava. Only they are going to be zocheh to have tchias amezim. Tosfos asks the kasha, what about Perek Chelek? The very first Mishnah says, and these are the ones who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. It doesn't say those who have gaiva. So that's Tosfos kasha. If this is really true, you don't have any chelek in Olam Haba because of your bad midah of gaiva. Why isn't that listed in the Mishnah in chelek at the very end of Meseches Sanhedrin? Some I saw the Cheshek Shlomo in the back says maybe when the Mishnah lists Yeravam ben Nevat as one of the people who don't get a Olam Haba. So and he was a tremendous bal gaiva. So maybe the Mishnah was hinting to it. But that's the question that Tosfos deal with. Is that really true? If that really is true, that you don't get Olam Haba because you're a Bal Gaiva, why isn't that listed in the Mishnah and Perek Chelek? The Gemara continues, Ba'amar of Elazar, Kol Adam Sheyeshbo Gasos Haruach, Shechina Mileles Alav, anyone who has Gaiva arrogance, the Shechina is wails over him, it cries over him. Shenemar v'gavoha mimerchak yiyeda, that the gavoha, somebody who thinks highly of themselves, mimerchak Hashem from far away, yiyeda, is pained by this person's Gaiva. It hurts HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Darash Rav Avira v'Yitemer Rav Elazar. Bo re'e shelo k'minas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'adam. See how people are very different from the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts. Because midas basar v'adam gavoha roa es ha-gavoha ve'ein gavoha roa es ha-shafal. Somebody who is very full of themselves, they're very high, they don't talk to the people who are lower than them, they only talk to those who are also high, very significant, important people. Aval midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein okein. Hashem does not do that. Hu gavoha, Hashem of course is very gavoha, he's very high up in the world, but still the roa es ha-shafal, Hashem still does see those who are shafal, who are lowly. Shene'amar ki ram Hashem v'shafal yira'eh. Hashem is Ram, Hashem is very high up, but still he sees those, all humankind who are very lowly people. Amar Rav Chista, Bitema Mar Ukva, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasos HaRuach, any person who has Gasos HaRuach, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Ani V'Hu Yecholon Lador Ba'Olam. Hashem says, me and him can't live in the world together. Shene'amar Melashni V'Seser Re'ehu Oso Atzmiz. The first half of the Pasuk is unrelated, referring to those who talk badly, Lashon Hara, about other people in private, they're going to be destroyed. And then the end of the Pasuk says, Giva Einayim U'Rechav Levav, someone who has Gaiva, Oso lo uchal, that person can't be. Altikre oso, don't say that it should be that he can't be. Ela ito lo uchal, with him, I can't live. Hashem says, I can't live. This world isn't big enough for the two of us. I can't live with somebody who has this mita of gaiva. And ikad amasni la masapir lashon hara, some darshan this not only on those who have gaiva, but also those who talk lashon hara. Shene'amar melashni baseser re'ehu oso atzmis. The first half of the pasuk is referring to those who talk lashon hara, and by those people who talk lashon hara, Hashem says that me and him can't live in the same world. And those two are very linked. The mida of gaiva and the iser lashon hara are very linked. Somebody who thinks that they're better than everybody else is very easy to talk about other people in inappropriate ways. The Gemara continues, Amar Avi Alexandri, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasas HaRuach, Afilu Ruach Kima Ocharto. Any person who has this Midah of Gasas HaRuach, even a small wind, even a small piranha, some small bad thing happens to him, it's going to completely destroy him. Shene Amar, V'Hareshoim Kayom Nigrash, Reshoim are compared to a troubled sea, Uma Yom Sheyesh Bo Kama Revi'iyos, a sea which has many Revi'iyos of water, and still Ruach Kima Ocharto, still a small wind, can create a wave in the sea, in the yam. So Adam she'embo ella revius, that a person who is made up of a revius dam, we have many revius of dam in us, but the revius dam, Chazal say, are the ikr chiyus of a person, that's what keeps us running. So alachas kama v'kama, so someone who has only a revius of one revius, alachas kama v'kama, even more so, if the tremendous sea is disturbed by a slight wind, then so to a person who's only one revius of dam is going to be disturbed by any small bad thing that happens to him, it's going to completely throw him off. We're going to take a bit in a second, don't worry. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, Talmid Chacham Tzarech Sheyehe Bo Echad Mishmona Bishmias. Rav Chiya Barashi says, quoting from Rav, a Talmid Chacham should have a bit of gaiva, as you said before. Not no gaiva, you should have an eighth of gaiva, have a 64th of gaiva, to have a teeny bit. You shouldn't have none, you should have a little bit. That's going to be a very important machlokes in our Gemara. Amar Rav Huna Perbi Yoshua, and he supports this ruling and says, Uma Atrale Ki Sa'asa Leshubalta, if you have a bit of gaiva, it's going to be like a crown, it's going to adorn you. It's going to make you even more beautiful. Ki sas la shubalta, like the as we had before, like the beard that comes out, like the hairs on the top of the grain. It's like a crown. So to that bit of gaiva is going to be better off for the Talmid Chacham. And Rava agrees, Amar Rava, Beshamta to Ispe, U Beshamta to Lespe. To somebody who has Gaiva, too much Gaiva, they should be excommunicated. But Beshamta to Lespe, someone who has no Gaiva, should also be gone, because he should have a bit of Gaiva. But Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak disagrees. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Lo Mina, Velo Miktsasa. I don't buy any of this stuff. You shouldn't have any Gaiva, not even a 64th, an eighth of Gaiva, you shouldn't have any. Because Mizutar, is it a small thing? The Pasuk refers to somebody who has Gival Lev, someone who has Gaiva, the Pasuk refers to him as Toevas Hashem. It's an abomination, it's a pretty bad thing, so he should therefore have no Gaiva, not a 64th, he should try to stay as far away as possible from Gaiva. We're going to get to that. So what does the Gemara mean? So the Gemara says you should have an eighth of Gaiva, a very specific measure of how much Gaiva you should have. That you should have a bit, you should have an eighth of an eighth, a 64th of Gaiva. So there are many, many explanations, some of which are I'm a big fan of, which we're going to get to. As to where does that number come from of 1/64th? So the Marsha says very interestingly that we know the word that the Chazal used for Gaiva is a Gas Ruach. Gas, Gimel Samach, is Gematria 63. So you shouldn't have a 63rd of that. That's too much. That would be considered a Gas Ruach. You have to have a little bit less than 63. You should have a 64th less than Gas. You should have 1/64th. That's what the Marsha says. And the Maritzchias in the back, the Maritzchias says that 1/64th is Batel. We know that we say things are Batel B'shishim. So if you'd have 60 times, like 1 in 61 of your midos are gaiva, that would be batel. And so 1 in 64 is such a small amount that it's actually going to be batel. You should have a bit of gaiva, but it shouldn't define you. It should be batel in the rest of your characteristics and the rest of the way that you run yourself. It should be such a small amount. He says, well, why doesn't it say 1 out of 62, 1 out of 63? Why 1 out of 64? That those are all batel, because that's the easiest one to say. An eighth of an eighth is close off the tongue. That's his way of getting out of that. Then we have the Gra, as Rabbi Shir mentioned. We have the Gra. The Gra has a very interesting drush that an eighth of an eighth, what's that referring to? That's referring to the eighth pasuk of the eighth parsha in the Torah. What's the eighth parsha? Parsha's Vayishlach. What's the eighth pasuk? Katonti mikol hachasadim. Which some say, oh, katonti means you should have nothing, right? So you should have an eighth of an eighth, and look it up. The eighth pasuk, the eighth parsha says, katonti. Have no gaiva. That's what some say. But the Gra says, no, the Gra says that the pasuk says, that's Yaakov saying, katonti mikol hachasadim. Yaakov is saying that Hashem has given me so many good things until now, that now I have no more zechuyos left. So Yaakov is saying that I had a lot of zechuyos, and the things that Hashem did for me were because of my zechuyos, and therefore now I'm empty. So the Gra says that level of gaiva, to say that I'm a good person and that the things that Hashem did to me are because of me. Yaakov didn't say they're because of the zechus avos that Hashem helped me in the past because of Avram and Yitzchak. No, Hashem helped me in the past because of what I did. You can have gaiva to say that Hashem takes care of me because of what I've done in the past, but that should lead to a sense of another that now I have no more zechuyos left, and now that I'm katonti mikol hachasadim. That's the Gra. But my favorite shot of the 1/64th is the Chanukah Satorah. The Chanukah Satorah is Rabbi Rav Heschel. He says that there's the Medrash that tells us that Hashem was picking which mountain to give the Torah on. The final two contenders of which mountain should get the Torah were Har Sinai and the very high Har Tavor. Har Tavor was the one that was too high, too much gaiva, can't give the Torah on that mountain. How tall was Har Tavor? So he quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra, which says that Har Tavor was 4 parsa, and 1 parsa is 4 mil, and 1 mil is 4,000 amos. So the way the math works out, 4,000 times 4 times 4 is 32,000 amos. So how tall was Har Tavor? The one that's way too tall. The one that represents too much gaiva, that was 32,000 amos. Says the Gemara, don't have Har Tavor gaiva. Don't have 32,000 amos worth of gaiva. Have a 64th. What's a 64th of 32,000? 500 amos, which the Medrash says is how tall Har Sinai was.
Whoa.
So Har Sinai was 1/64th of Har Tavor. Don't give the Torah on Har Tavor. That's way too much gaiva. Have a 64th of gaiva. Have a Har Sinai level of gaiva. That bit of gaiva which Har Sinai represents is the appropriate amount of gaiva to have. So Har Sinai's height was 1/64th of the Har Tavor site. That was that blew me away. That was a good stuff. That's what I was going to get to, Mitzvah Samach Dalet. Yeah. So I heard an amazing ha'ara from Rav Pinchas Gross. He's a Maggid Shir in Baltimore. And he points out, I don't know, nobody else says this. He pointed out that, yeah, the Smag had a Ruach HaKodesh that he should put the Isser of Gaiva in Mitzvah Samach Dalet in the 64th Losase. can't be a coincidence. It's because they're supposed to have not no gaiva, have a 64th of gaiva, have a bit of gaiva. That's why it's dafka in mitzvah samat aleid. Amazing. That's that I almost, if I would have forgotten to get back to that, I would have been killing myself. So thank you for that. And so why is it important to have a bit of gaiva? So Rashi points out that it's important that people should take you seriously. People, if you want to say something, want to answer, want to have an answer to the shir, so you should be able to have the gaiva to say, I know, mitzvah samat aleid. You should be able to speak up and say what you want. People should accept what you have to say. And the Maharsha says it's a general kavodat Torah. The Talmid Chacham, who learns a lot of Torah, represents the Torah. And if you're going to treat yourself like garbage, then that's going to be a it's going to impede the kavodat Torah that we're supposed to have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Okay, let's go weiter. So Amar Chizkiyah, like five lines from the bottom. Amar Chizkiyah, Ein tfilaso shel adam nishma'as, ela im kein meisim libo kebasar. Someone's tefillah is only accepted if they make themselves like basar, like soft, flexible basar, but to not have gaiva, to have anava. Shene emar v'hayami de chodesh b'chadsho, that every month, yavo kol basar l'eshtachavos, every basar should go bow and dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Dafka basar, their tefillah is going to be miskabel. Amr of Zera, basar ksib be venirpa. Rav Zera says the word basar, it says the word venirpa, that it was healed next to it, but adam lo ksib be venirpa. By the word adam, it does not say the word venirpa, which Rashi points out is a reference to the psukim by tzara'as. The psukim say, basar ki be'or roshchin venirpa, and adam ki be'or besaro. Two psukim by tzara'as, one says basar and one says adam. Dafka, the one by basar, says venirpa, that he's going to be healed from the tzara'as, indicating that somebody who makes themselves like basar is going to have venirpa. Their tefillahs are going to be answered, and they're going to have a refuah. But someone who's like Adam, who is hard, and he's firm, and he's not flexible like basar, they're not going to have a nirpa. Their tefillahs are not going to be miskapel. And Amar Rav Yochanan, Adam is an acronym for Efer, Dam, and Mara. It's an acronym for dust and blood and Mara, which is bile, which are just the things that make up a person, which you think you should remember how lowly you are. You come from such insignificant ingredients. And basar is an acronym for Busha, Srucha, and Rima, to remember that you should be, that you're nothing. You should have Busha, you're foul, you're going to go to the worms. Things to remind you to be like basar, they should have anava. So Adam and basar are both acronyms to remind us about the importance of anava and not to have gaiva. Ikata Amri, some say no, the acronym of basar shouldn't have srucha, right? Srucha doesn't even have a shin in it. It has a samach. So why is that in the list? No, instead, she'ol. You say the word she'ol, which means grave, because that at least has a shin. That would fit better into the basar acronym. So take out srucha and instead put in she'ol. Amar of Ashi, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasos HaRuach Lesof Nifchas. Anyone who has Gaiva, as we said, they're ultimately going to be lower down. They're going to lose their Chashivas. Shene Amar. Hey, Amad Beis. Elu Se'es Ula Sapachas. The Pasuk again by Tzara'as says Se'es and Sapachas next to each other. Ve'ein Se'es El Alashon Gavoa. Se'es is a lashon of lifting yourself up, a lashon of Gaiva. Shene Amar Ba'al Kol HaHarim HaRamim Ba'al Kol HaGivaos HaNesaos. The Pasuk refers to the hills and the mountains that are nesuos, that are lifted up. So se'es is a reference to gaiva being lifted up. Ve'ein sapachas ela tefela. And the word sapachas is a lashon of tefela, being secondary, of losing your chashivos. Shene emar sefacheni na el achas hakahunos le'echol pas lechem. This is a pasuk referring to the house of Eli after they lost their kahuna gedola, and they're not gonna be able to eat with all the kohan. They're gonna be begging to be sifachenina, to at least make me secondary to other mishmaros, to be able to eat pas lechem like the other kohanim. So the lashon of sifacheni is a lashon of being secondary, of being tafel. So se'e sapachas, if you have gaiva, sapachas are going to be secondary, you're going to be tafel to other people, you're going to lose your chashivas. Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Bo ure'e kama gedolim nimuche haruach lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and see how incredible in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu it is to be a namach ruach, to have a sense of anava. Why? Shebesha'a shebeis hamikdash kayam, in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, adam makriv ola, schar ola biyado. If you bring a carbon ola, you have the schar of the carbon ola, and mincha, schar mincha biyado. Bring a carbon mincha, you have the schar bringing a carbon mincha. Aval mi shedaito shefela, maile ola vakasav, somebody who has a sense of anava, it's as if they brought all karbanos, not just a mincha or an ola, all karbanos. Shenamar zivchei elokim ruach nishbara. The pasuk says zivchei in plural, all the zvachim. somebody who has ruach nishbara, a broken sense of, right, without having a full sense of gaiva. So somebody who's broken is going to have, as if they brought all the karbanos, the lo od. Not only that, ela she'ein tfilaso nemeses. Their tfilah is not going to be rejected by Hashem. Shene'emar lev nishbar venidka elokim lo sivze. That Hashem's not going to find, it's not going to disgrace your, the tfilah that comes from a lev nishbar, from a broken heart. Somebody with anava, their tfilahs are going to be miskapil. Tamar of Yeshua ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi says, "Kol hasham archosa biolam hazeh." Anybody who is careful to evaluate all their actions, all the things that they do, they are sham like a shuma. They evaluate; they're very carefully calculating the way that they act in this world. So zoche veroe bi Yeshua shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to be zoche to see the salvation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shene amar v'sham derech erenu beYesha Elokim al tekrei v'sham ela v'sam derech. Sorry, the pasuk says v'sam derech al tekrei v'sam ela v'sham derech. Somebody who is Sham Derech, who is very carefully calculating and evaluating the actions that they do, they're going to see the Yesha Elokim. They're going to see the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So,
Ad Kan. Is the Yesha Elokim considered Mashiach or something completely different?
It's a good question. I didn't see any clarification as to what that's referring to. I think it's just Stam, the same Yeshua in your lifetime. But we did have before. We did have before, perhaps, that you won't get Tchias HaMesim if you are lacking gaiva. So it could be that those things that are linked, that there are certain aspects of Olam Haba that you're going to be losing out for. But yeah, that's a good question. Good kasha. But Ad Kan, that completes the discussion of the gaiva. We started all the way on Daud Amud Beis, talking about the terrible things about Gasa Ruach, and all the way through Hey Amud Aleph, and onto Hey Amud Beis, talking about the terrible midah of gaiva. And now, we snap back out of the Agata, back into our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was talking about Sota. Remember? Talking about Sota? The Mishnah was talking about Sota. And the Mishnah had said, Ketzad Mekanala. Look back in the Mishnah. It's very, very strange. The Mishnah says, like five lines down on Beis Amud Aleph, it said, Ketzad Mekanala. The Mishnah is going to introduce, how do you do Kinoi? How do you warn your wife that she shouldn't seclude with a certain person? Ketzad Mekanala. It says, Omer la b'fnei shnayim al tadabri imesh poni. All the Mishnah says, oh, how do you do Kinoi? You say, don't talk to somebody. Which is not kinoy at all. Kinoy is don't have stir with somebody. Don't have yichud with another man. Dibur alone is not considered a kinoy at all. That's not considered an isser. It would not create a sota bechlal. So the Gemara is very bothered. The lashon of the Mishnah is very confusing. Haguf akasha, in the middle of Hamid Beis now. Haguf akasha, the Mishnah itself, it contradicts itself. Amar to amar labefnei shnayim al tadabri imish ploni zeh alma dibur stiru. The Mishnah started off, Ketzad Mekanala, what's considered kinoy? And the lashon it says is atadabri imish ploni. Don't talk to ish ploni. Alma dibor stirahu. Sounds like the lashon of dibor, of don't talk, is a lashon of stira. But then, Bahadar Tani, Dibra Imo, Adayan Muteres Labesa, Umuteres Lachal Betruma. But the Mishnah then concludes, if all she did was talk to the guy, then it's not a sota. And she's allowed to go back to her husband, and she can continue to eat Truma, if her husband was a Kohen. So we see Alma Dibor, Lo Klumu. Dibor just talking to someone that you were not supposed to talk to? That does not create a sota. So why does the Mishnah say, Ketzad Mekanala, and then say, Atadabri Emishploni? That's Dapka, not the Lashon of Kinoy, to say, don't speak to him. That's not the lashon of kinoy. So Amar Abaye, Hachi Kamar. Abaye says you have to reread the Mishnah. You have to insert some words into the Mishnah, kind of like we have a chasuri mechzera. Then instead, it should say the following: Al tadabri v'dibra. If all you said was "Don't talk to Ploni," and then she did, or you said "Al tadabri v'nisra," you said "Don't talk to Ploni," and then she was miyachid. She had yichud. She secluded herself with Ploni. So, or you said "Al tisri." You said, don't have yichud with Ploni, and then vidibra. All she did was talk to him. So if your kino, your warning was don't talk, or if what she actually did was talk, in all those cases, adayin muteres labesa, she's still mutter, umuteres lachal batruma, she can go back to her husband, she can still eat truma if her husband was a Kohen, because dibor itself is not going to create a sota. But nichnasa imo labes haseser, if you said altistri, you said don't have yichud with the guy, and then she went, labes haseser, she went into a secluded area with that ploni, vishasa kedetuma, and she was there for the period of kedetuma, which we had on Daf Dalid, nine different shittos about how long is it to be considered as if they perhaps did something, then asura labesa vasura lechol betruma. Only then, only if she was warned not to have stira, and she ultimately has Tira, the time of Kirei Tumah, only then is she going to be Asura Labesa, Vasura Lechol Batruma. She's going to be Asur to her husband, and Asur to Ichuma. So the Mishnah itself is phrased in a very confusing way, but you have to reread the Mishnah saying that Dibur is not enough. As you know, if you say, don't talk to the guy, that's not going to be considered Kinui. It's not a sufficient warning to create a Zota. And if all she does is talk to the guy and doesn't have Yichud, that's not going to be enough either. It has to be you warn her not to have Yichud, and then she has Yichud. Oh, that's the only ingredients that are going to create a sota situation. And the Mishnah had concluded at the end of the Mishnah. It said that let's say you have a woman who is a sota, right? So she was warned, she had kinui, he warned her, don't be miyache with this guy. And then she was miyache with that guy. So now she has to go and drink the mesota to determine her fate. In the interim, he dies. And while she's waiting to drink the mesota, so we don't know what her status is. Is she really going to be usher to her husband? Is she going to explode? Is she going to be mutter to her husband? We don't know what's going to happen. So in that interim, her husband dies. Does she have to do yibam? The Mishnah says don't do yibam. Right. So generally speaking, if Reuven is married to Sarah and Reuven dies, so the concept of yibam is that Sarah is going to have to marry her deceased husband's brother. She'll have to marry Shimon. Right, Sarah is married to Reuven. Reuven dies. Sarah has to marry Shimon. That's the concept of Yibum. Or if she hasn't do Yibum, she can do Chalitza, which would sever the Yibum connection. Remember, good times? Yibum, Yibum Chazara? That if you want to do Chalitza instead, she can... Is that traumatizing to bring back our Yibum days? If she does Chalitza, that would uproot it. But over here, she's kind of married, kind of not married. She's kind of in limbo because she's married to her husband. She didn't divorce her husband, but she was on her way to drink the sota water, which may make her usher to her husband. She's usher to her husband right now, and she can't be with her husband. So maybe she's not considered married because she's usher to her husband, but she really is still married to her husband. She didn't have a get or anything. So maybe we should say that you should still do yibum over here. So the Mishnah had a little in limbo. Mishnah said, don't do yibum to the brother. Don't marry the brother through yibum. Instead, just do chalitza. Just cut ties with the brother, don't do yibum, just do chalitza. And the Gemara wants to know, why not? Why don't you do yibum? Amai, tisyabim nami yivumi. Why can't you do yibum over here? Right, she's a regular wife married to her husband, and let's say they don't have any kids, and her husband dies. Why doesn't she do yibum to the brother? Just because she's a sota, because she had kinui and tzira, she can't do yibum? Why not? So Rav Yosef says, it's a gzeiras hakasuv. Amar of Yosef Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, by somebody who finds out that his wife was doing some Dabar Erva, somebody who suspects his wife of something, the Pasuk says, V'yatza mi beso, they should get divorced, V'halcha v'haysa le'ish acher, she should go and marry somebody else. Right? If your husband suspects you of something, divorce your husband and marry somebody else. Ish acher is the importance. Somebody else. Le'ish acher v'lo le'yavam. Marry another guy, but don't marry your husband's brother. He's considered he's part of the family. And marry outside the family. Marry the ish acher. Rashi says the diok is in the lashon of acher. Pasuk could have just said marry leish, marry somebody. Obviously, it's a different person than you were married to before because you got divorced. Marry somebody. Why say leish acher? Acher means outside the family. That's the drasha of Rabbi Yosef. Why can't you even in our Mishnah's case where she's a sota and her husband dies? Pasuk says v'yatza leish acher. She should marry somebody else, but not the other. Don't marry your deceased husband's brother. Amalei Abaye asks, Elameata Chalitza Nami Lo Tibai. If that's the case, you shouldn't have to do Chalitza either. If the Pasuk is completely removing her from having to do Yibam Bechlal over here, so shouldn't have to do Chalitza either. Why does she have to do, no Yibam, but do Chalitza to cut the tie between you and the Yavam? Doesn't the Pasuk say, Velola Yavam? There's no connection between the Isha Sota and the deceased husband's brother. So why no Yibam, but you still have to do Chalitza? So Rabbi Yosef responds, Amar lei ilu ise lebaal milo ba'i get. If her husband hadn't died, if her husband was still alive, she would need to do a get. She hasn't severed her original marriage with her husband yet. And so hashtanami tibai chalitza. So now as well, as Rashi points out, the yavam, the brother of the dead husband, he's like taking the place of the deceased husband. And so just like the husband himself didn't give a get yet, and then he died, so at least the husband's brother should do chalitza. It's kind of like the brother, like the husband himself who died. It's kind of like him himself giving a get to sever the marriage. So that's
is there any nachamim between a woman who's divorced versus a woman who's widowed, marry a kohen, let's say, or any other reason?
Can you repeat the question? What do you mean?
Is there a difference between a woman who a woman can marry if she's a gerusha versus if she's a widow?
Yeah, but what for our Gemara?
Because it makes a difference then. Because she's not, you're saying like the Yibum is like a divorce.
Are you saying like Chalitza? Right, yeah. Gusha v'chalutza are also... Right, yeah. That's a good point. That's exactly... That's a very important nachmina. That's why our Gemara has to point out, you have to do chalitza. If you would say, do nothing, then she's not considered a grusha or a chalutza. She's not considered a divorcee or a chalutza. She'd be mutter to marry a kohen. Yeah, exactly. Great point, yeah. So the importance, like Gemara says, you have to do chalitza, would restrict her future prospects. Yeah. Shkayach. Okay, the Ista Amri, a second, where Gemara is going to have three versions. We're going to say two today, and we're up to the second round now. Third, we'll say next week. The second version of our Gemara as to why there is Yibum, why there's no Yibum, but there is Chalitza. The Ista Amri, Amar of Yosef, Rachmana Amar, V'yata Mibesa V'halcha V'haisa L'ish Acher. Pasuk says she should go marry somebody else. So why is there no Yibum over here? Why doesn't she marry the husband's brother? Because Pasuk says V'haisa L'ish Acher, D'lo Listerei Lebese. But you shouldn't go destroying this person's family, right? This woman who was cheating on her husband. So Pasuk says, divorce her husband. Don't stay in the family and ruin other marriages. No, marry somebody else. Marry outside. Marry some other third party and ruin their life. But don't ruin his life anymore. So Ba'at Amart, the Gemara is going to say that itself. Ba'at Amart, Tisyavim Nami Yavui. And you're going to say that this woman who we're saying is terrible, she's cheating on her husband, she's going to be forced to marry this husband's brother. We're going to force somebody to marry this woman who is not very reliable, not very trustworthy. So that's why it can't be you're going to make her do yibum, make him do yibum to this woman, because she's not a good marriage partner. The Mar Av Amalei Abaye asks, Elamei Ata La'achar Natilase. She shouldn't marry anybody. She shouldn't marry another person either. The Lo Tistrei Lebese. She's going to ruin their marriage too. So why she should be single for life? So Amalei, Rav Yosef responds, no. Mikara minan aleha, aleha bal karche. We're not going to force her to marry this Yavam, but if somebody else voluntarily decides to marry this woman, then good luck. Haslacha rabba. But we're not going to force someone. We're not going to force someone to marry this woman who has a history of cheating on her husband. But if somebody else decides on their own voluntarily to marry this woman, that's going to be totally okay. So that's why the Mishnah had said, we're not going to force the brother to do Yibam. We're not going to force somebody into this marriage, but you still mutter to the rest of the world because somebody else is allowed to voluntarily choose to marry this woman. So that's the Gemara. So we spoke today about the Isser of Gaiva. We spoke about Azhara Lagase Ruach, a pasuk from Yirmiyah and from Sefer Dvarim. Perhaps it's an Isser D'Oraisa quoted by the Smag in Mitzvah Samach Dalet. We quoted all the terrible things about Gaiva. Hashem can't live with you in this world. We spoke about Har Sinai having a 64th of Gaiva, having a bit for Kavodah Torah. People should take you seriously. A 64th of how tall Har Sinai is compared to Har Tavor, Katonti Mikol HaChasadim. And then we spoke a couple of halachos about... the lashon of kinui has to be not to have yichud, not enough to say that you're not going to talk to the guy. I have to say he's not going to be, she won't be miyake with the guy. And finally, we spoke about the importance that the Mishnah had said that you should not do yibum, but you should do chalitza. When a husband dies, the brother does not have to do. He is not going to be forced to do yibum. He's not going to do yibum, but he will do chalitza because the marriage is still existent.